And I guess it's the return of Martin and Marlo back from hiatus. Remember your favorite shows? Wouldn't they like go off in the summertime? They just wouldn't be around anymore. And then I actually think Chuck left us for a while. He was like Shelley Long. He quit Cheers, this runaway hit that was Martin and Marlo, decided for a solo career. Now, the truth is, Chuck is knee deep into his YouTube channel. You're like the kids now. The kids all grow up and they say, what do you want to do with your life? And they say, I want to be a YouTube star. That's you, young Chaz.
Correct. I want to be on Twitch. I want to do the video games. I want people to watch me playing video games. No, I am trying to build up the YouTube channel so people can follow Charlie Marlo. And I think this podcast will be a good vehicle on YouTube. I mean, it's Martin and Marlo on the radio. I don't know. Maybe on YouTube, it might have to be Marlo and Martin. I'm not sure yet. I might have to rebrand it just for YouTube.
I think alphabetically, Marlo would go first, right? Looking at it. By the way, we did, yes. You know, it all, you can always point to, you could be like the straw man who argues, oh, I saw somebody on Twitter say that, you know, Berube should be fired. You can always grab like one example. There was a tweet that said, when will Martin and Marlo be returning? Did you see that?
Yes, I actually have seen a couple tweets like that. Ooh. And I think I liked it. I think I saw this tweet yesterday. So I liked it knowing that we were coming back. And this is like you mentioned the whole sitcom thing. When you have the season end around May and you have a big cliffhanger and then you don't have any episodes through the summer and then they come back in the fall, that's kind of like this without the cliffhanger.
Yeah, I was going to say, except we didn't leave people wanting more. We didn't have there was no inconclusive result because the entire conversation is inconclusive. And there are a number of topics to get to today. We're all about a lot to get to. But maybe explain the YouTube channel, though, that people, I'm assuming if they're listening to this, they're already on it, though. But they can basically, are you eventually going to be on there every day, say, hey, this is me and Otis, we're going for a walk? And
that's not the plan at all. I just think what's cool about YouTube is the fact that it's owned by Google. And we all know Google's kind of in our brains a little bit. But I just think video content will live forever on YouTube. And if you think about the different social medias, there's not really a great competitor for YouTube in the sense of where you go for video. And I also think that on Twitter, to post your videos as is, they have to be less than 2 minutes and 20 seconds. On Instagram, sometimes they'll turn those videos into that square box. And if you go longer than a minute, it has to be that, what do you call it, that IGTV, whatever it is. I just like the fact that on YouTube, you can post however long you want. And the analytics are really cool to look through and see how many people are watching and when they stop watching and what's the average minutes or, you know, seconds that they watch your channel and all that. So I don't know, it's pretty cool every day to go through and look at the different data and see why people are watching and why people aren't watching.
You know, and I need this weekly segment because I have a lot of randoms. And so when I'm doing a podcast, we do the Kilcoin conversation, whether it's with, you know, Bob Costas or Chris Pronger or Dave Murray or whomever, I can't really hit them with randoms. Like they are the focus. Keith Kachuk, Orlando Pace, they don't really care about my stupid little story. So I had stopped making all these random observations, but I was on the road, tales from the road, Indianapolis, great city. I did notice in watching their TV, they all say the Circle City. And earlier today in the Circle City, this weekend in the Circle City, we don't say the Gateway City repeatedly. They say every channel, everywhere you listen, TV, radio, it's the Circle City. It's branded into your head. It's a great town. I'm amazed at how much growth they have downtown. And I think Fox 2 has done some TV stories talking about, you know, how they've gotten it right. Their city and their county work together. But it's unbelievable how much housing they have downtown. It's a really clean, nice downtown. Now, we didn't do a whole lot. We were doing some TV stuff. But I also thought of you, and we'll get your indie thoughts, but on Sunday, the Illinois Loyola game is ending. Now, this is journalism 2021. Our photographer, Jamar Black, and I are sitting in a parking lot across from the Farmers Life, Bankers Life Fieldhouse, which is where the Pacers play. That's the site of the Illinois Loyola game. We're listening to it on the radio outside, waiting for fans to exit so we can interview them. That's journalism in 2021. But as they're coming out, I say to Jamar, let's just get some people that are clearly loyal to fans, their story. You know, they're not a Cinderella. They hate that. So I see a guy wearing the scarf, like the burgundy, the gold scarf your Sister Jean wears. I'm like, oh, this guy's perfect. So I run up and I'm like, hey, you're an excited Loyola guy. Tell me about the game. And he says, I'll tell you what, man, it was going off at 7.5. I called my buddy right before the game, and he's like, I bet it's going to go up to about 8. Are you crazy, man? Look at what the trends with Loyola. Then at halftime, I call a buddy, and the number had moved. He's basically a bookie. He's like, didn't give two shits about Loyola. He was basically cashing in. And I'm like, I found the Chuck Marlowe of the Loyola crowd. I thought I had found like passionate Loyola guy, but instead it was a bookie.
I love that. Hey, look, you need to find reasons to watch. Okay. Now, I don't really need a reason to watch the NCAA tournament because it's such great basketball. I think it's three of the best sports weeks of the year. Excuse me. But gambling makes it a lot more fun. And so if you have a little bit of action on some of these games, I always say, especially the first 2 days of the NCAA tournament, because you have these sessions and it starts about 11 a.m. and it goes till about 11 p.m. Central Time, I always like to have just action on one game per session. So if you have a little action on a noon game, if you have a little action on, let's say, a 3, 4 p.m. game, and then you bet on one of those night games, it keeps you even more interested throughout the entire day. But again, with the NCAA tournament, you don't really need that because the first 2 days are so fantastic with the upsets that you don't even have to be a gambler to watch, but it doesn't hurt bringing more people, more eyeballs on the product.
I can't say it's my favorite sporting event, but I don't know what my answer would be. But those first 2 days, like on their own, like you can't compare the NCAA tournament to the Super Bowl because that's one event versus 3 weeks. I think the tournament maybe would be best compared to like the MLB playoffs or the NFL playoffs. I think my tournament, the only problem for me is with the tournament, like I'm glued to it. Every game matters. You go from at work and you run home and you might go to a sports bar and who's playing? Oh, Abilene Christian. Come on. They got to pull this off. Oh, Oral Roberts is on my screen right now. But I think as it progresses, Sweet 16, Final Four, I'm a little bit less interested or glued to it as I was those first 2 days. And I think like NFL playoffs, it might be the reverse where I'm more into it as it progresses. That I don't know what else you could compare it to because it's not a singular event. It's awesome. I freaking love it. And the upsets made it even better this year, having so many of them, albeit at the expense of your beloved Big Ten. But do you compare it to MLB, NFL, like where it's a several-week event?
I just think with the NCAA tournament, the first 2 days are so fantastic. And you usually do see all those upsets in the first couple of days. Now, later on, okay, a team like Loyola, I don't think, as you mentioned earlier, it's not even fair to call them a Cinderella. And they shouldn't even have been whatever they were, an 8th seed. They should have been more like a 4 or 5 seed. I mean, they were a top 25 team for most of the year at the end, at least. So that's, what, a 5 or a 6 seed. And I know a team like Oral Roberts gets through. But it's usually the Cinderella stories for the first game, the Ohios of the world getting through. And in that second round, you usually see a ton of chalk. So absolutely, on Monday, when you had all these games, which I thought was cool to have NCAA tournament games on a Monday and to kind of roll the weekend into the work week, if you look at how the day progressed, and again, I'll speak to it from a gambling standpoint also. I know from betting the NCAA tournament that the first round is crazy and volatile, and the chalk usually rules in the second round. And that first game on Monday was Oregon, who hadn't played yet because of VCU having to have the no contest due to COVID. So Oregon goes and rolls Iowa, the 2 seed. Okay, the second game was Gonzaga. They were favored by 15.5. I'm like, that's a lot of points versus Oklahoma. And Gonzaga covers by 0.5 point. So I'm thinking maybe this year is different. Maybe it's weird because of COVID and everything's different. Well, what happened the rest of the night? Literally the next 6 games were either blowouts or easy covers. I think that Michigan game was an 8-point margin, but every single game the rest of Monday, finishing with a USC team. Now, USC was only favored by 1 point, but they blew out Kansas by, what, 34 points? So to be honest with you, on Monday, after the first game where you did see, and I'm saying air quotes because Oregon is a big-time program. That was an upset, but it's Oregon beating Iowa. after that, the games weren't good at all. Almost every game was a 15 or 20 point margin.
And you and I think in the past year have talked about it's the obvious. And we maybe first talked about it with the Cardinals' return last summer. It's so bland without the fans. I mean, the games are great. The upsets are great. And just this just huge sections empty. The biggest winner maybe in this sports pandemic shutdown, I think, is the appreciation for the fans, because it's always been about the players and so-and-so's a superstar and so on. And yes, they're the main reason you're there, but you almost forget, like, without a crowd, it sucks. I mean, it is not the same at all. I mean, granted, the CBS networks, all you have to do is zoom in on the coach's wife. You understand those wives don't go to games ever until March Madness, apparently, according, because all they do is zoom in on the wife. But I really miss that atmosphere, the crowd stuff. I think for the Final Four, they'll have about 17,000 because they'll open up all of Lucas Oil. But it does – I love it. The tournament's great. I'm glad it's back. I'm not complaining. You know, I don't complain anymore. I gave that up years ago. Wouldn't possibly complain. But, man, I miss full houses. I miss the crowd being in. That's the missing element.
Right, and I've said that we've done this podcast for however long, even though we took a break. But
is this our 34th?
I hate to say this.
Is this our 34th?
It's 34, 35, 36. We didn't do the jersey thing. I guess we forgot about that.
Is this the Herschel Walker edition?
I think Kenny Wallace, also our guy Kenny Wallace, I believe he's 36, because Kenny Wallace 36, I'm pretty sure, is on all of his social media accounts.
Remember, he joined us. We used to have a radio show, short-lived, but very popular, very popular.
Oh, yeah.
People still talk about it. Remember, he was on and he said he was 36 or whatever, and he loved it, and he also loved it because of Pete Cosma. And then people texted in and said, actually, Cosma was 38. And I'm like, don't worry. There's better 36s to associate with. I believe this is 34. I will dust it off before we tweet it out, but I believe it would be the Bo Jackson edition, maybe?
So 34, now we're totally going off course here. But that opens up – okay, I think we even discussed this with Shaq. Was Shaq 33 with Orlando, maybe 34 with the Lakers because Magic was 32? Is that right?
I believe that's correct. The great thing about these segments is when we're done, then we go and look it all up. And you can do this as well. While you're listening, you can look all of this. I believe that's correct. Shaq being 32 goes to the Lakers. That's the magic number. You're right. So he switches to 35. I'm pretty sure that's correct. Mostly I picture NFL running backs wearing a 30.
Yes.
Although not really. No Rams come to mind, do they? Am I missing an obvious St. Louis Ram wearing 34?
I'm not good with this at all. So I got nothing. But I will say, just to wrap up the initial question before I went on a tangent to the jerseys, yes, 100%, and I hate to say this as a sports anchor, reporter, radio host who truly loves sports, but I've never, I haven't been focused less on sports than the last year, and it's because of what you said. It's just not the same on TV. It's not the same in person without the energy, without the crowd noise, without the fan shots, without the bands and the cheerleaders and the crazy fans at some of these games. It's just not the same at all. So I can't wait till we get back to full capacity stadiums in a safe way.
Martin and Marlowe, you can find it on Charlie's YouTube channel. You can also get it on Spotify, iTunes, all of that good stuff. It's brought to you by Appliance Discounters. They're well aware of all the cannots that the other appliance guys are telling you when you're in need of an appliance right away. Well, at Appliance Discounters, they want to make your life easier, offering a full in-stock 40,000-square-foot warehouse full of GE appliances. Hey, times are difficult enough. Why wait 2 to 3 months for your appliance when you can get it in just a couple of days? Lowest price, GE rebates, great service, and in-stock only at Appliance Discounters. Shop any of their showrooms or go online at theappliancediscounters.com. As always, our savings are your savings. Also, Marie Davila Senior Living, corner of Clayton and Wideman Road, the beautiful campus, 60 acres in West County. Check it out. Get a virtual tour at mariedavila.com. And Triad Bank, the St. Louis-based bank, started in 2005. You can find them on Clayton Road in Frontenac or simply go online to triadbanking.com. And the Marlowe Moments are presented by?
Well, I love Triad Bank as well, of course. And then you have the Corner Butcher in Fenton. 2099 Bentley Plaza Drive. I just grilled a bunch of meat yesterday. They have the best hot dogs you've ever tasted. I grilled some pork steak burgers. I grilled these Mixin' burgers. They're already infused with cheese, the stuffed burgers. The cool thing about Corner Butcher is they take all this food and they always just infuse it with better stuff like cheese and bacon. As a guy, how can you not love that? You have Kennelwood Pet Resorts. You probably heard my dog Otis barking a little bit when somebody opened the door about 15 minutes ago. And Kennelwood Pet Resorts, we've been going there for 5 years for boarding, grooming, day camp, all of that great stuff, training as well. And then a couple days ago, the first grass cutting of the year done by St. Louis Lawn Care, our guy Tim Jankerson. He does a fantastic job. Hit him up on his website. lawncare.com. He has stlmowerrepair.com for selling and fixing your lawn mowers, or if you need a commercial mower and all that. And then his brand new company, he just launched it this spring. This guy has like three companies, okay? He has lawncube.com, which is basically a subscription DIY lawn service. So lawncube.com, stlawncare.com, and stlmowerrepair.com. Tim Jankerson, if you go to those websites, he'll make sure your yard looks beautiful.
Did I get your Indy take? Have you been to, it's kind of in between Ohio and St. Louis. I would think have you been to Indy much?
Well, first of all, driving back and forth to Toledo a million times, that Indy is always the halfway point. So I've driven past it a million times. And in terms of going there, I think I covered the Big Ten women's tournament back when it was Conseco Fieldhouse. This is probably 13, 14 years ago. And then, you know, I have a good buddy that lives there, so I've been there for a bachelor party and hanging out. It is a great place. What's that?
Buddy of mine. You got a buddy of mine?
Buddy of mine, yeah. Brad Canada, if he's listening, college buddy who lives there. So his bachelor party was there. It was fantastic. And I think I've now been to either three or four, I can't remember, Big Ten championship games. My brothers, some of my cousins, uncles, we've met there the last several years. I haven't been able to go to every game, but I think I've been to three or four. And yeah, the way Indy is just set up downtown, it's perfect for big time sporting events, for bowl games, for conference championship games, for the NCAA tournament, all the bars. You can kind of walk from whatever they call Conseco Fieldhouse now to Lucas Oil, and there's all kinds of great restaurants and bars to go to there. And I think I even went down, it wasn't for the Super Bowl, but we went years ago just to kind of check it out before, like the week before the Super Bowl, just to kind of see all the craziness that was going on before the Super Bowl actually was played there. So yeah, I've been to Indy several times. I think it's great. And I've done some research, like you said, about, I believe it's called Unigov, where it was about 50 years ago where Indy County and city basically melded together. And it takes a long time, but I think you're starting to see in the last decade or so how that's really helped boost downtown. And I think if St. Louis did the same, we could probably see similar growth in the next couple decades.
You know, they call it the Circle City, Chuck. You have to call it the Circle City. I like
Well,
it.
Martin, you know who said that, right? Rob Dazier, who of course worked there. He would always call it the Circle City.
You know what? I forgot that. You're right. And because I would have guessed that was his thing, but now having been there and watched some of the local TV, it's the whole city's thing. They say it. I'm telling you, they say it constantly. Like if you turned on channel 2, 4, 5, 11, and every day it's like, all right, the latest in the Gateway City, a little later on the Gateway City, like you would say, this is weird. Like, why are we constantly saying it? Like if I was live in Toledo, I wouldn't mind working in Toledo and coming back here, Frog City has seen some, I mean, would they say that repeatedly? No. What's a Glass City? The other thing?
Well, it's more Glass City than Frog City, but I don't remember a local TV station ever. Now they might throw it in there at the end, like, and that's what's going on in the Glass City, but it would never be a focus every day.
So we go to this Mizzou pre-party, just trying to get some Mizzou fans. And there's a guy and he's wearing like black and gold checkered sport coat. I'm like, I got to talk to this guy. And we're talking for a little bit, small talk, getting ready for the interview. And I said, now, where are you from? Where are you out of? Cause he's a Mizzou backer. Could be from anywhere. He goes, oh, I live in St. Louis. And he said, now, where are you from? I go, oh, well, I also live in St. Louis. He's like, oh, great. How long have you been there? I'm like, since 97. So I'm kind of new to town. And anyway, there's a TV station called Fox. Now, you always bring this up, like I'm not being insecure about it. I just think it's weird. Like, had no clue that I was from St. Louis. Like, why else would we even be there? I guess we could have been from Columbia or Kansas City. But I walked out of there with my tiger tail between my legs. Hey, more tales from the road. You know what I like to do in the car? I like a good road trip. I love listening to the radio and just scanning all over. Outside of Indy, there's a station. I was listening to one called The Axe. The Axe, and then there's The Blazer. And I guess that could be like a trailblazer or as opposed to somebody wearing a cool sport coat. The Axe, The Blazer. That's what I love about radio. You got to have a really cool kick-ass name, you know, like The Gator. That's what we need is a catchy name. You don't have to come.
What about The Fan? What about 590 The Fan?
They're good. Dead to me. They're dead to me. You know that. Dead to me. I listen to you every day. That's different. Hey, can I sell you on Porter Moser taking a Marquette job? Porter Moser's a hot candidate. We know that. I'm listening to The Score in Chicago Monday morning. Chicago station. I got up in Indy. They're talking about Loyola. And one of the hosts says, Porter Moser can't go to Marquette. That's beneath him. And I almost said, oh, what's the listener line? I'm calling in. Can I sell you on Porter taking that job?
You can't, unfortunately. And here's why. When you take Loyola to the Final Four, and then 3-4 years later, with a different team, I know Cameron Krutwig is still on the team, but it's basically a different team. And you take another team to at least the Sweet 16, and it may be beyond that, and you knock off Illinois, the number two team in the country, and you don't just beat them on a last-minute buzzer beater. It wasn't a fluke. You actually dominated them from tip to buzzer. You were the better team. And Porter Moser, I looked this up. I feel like, you know, I've known about Porter Moser forever because when I was at Bradley, he was coaching Illinois State. And I was at Bradley in 2000 and 2004. I remember when I was working for the local TV station there in Peoria and we'd shoot Bradley games and I would go shoot Illinois State games because Bloomington's only about 30, 35 minutes away. Porter Moser was the head coach then in about 2003, 2004.
Yeah.
But he's only 52 years old. So think about that. He got a head coaching job at a very young age before everybody. Now guys are getting head coaching jobs at 30. That was not the case, as we know, 15, 20 years ago. But he's 52. This is his prime time to get the big job. And Marquette, it's a nice job. But let's be real. If Indiana's open and Indiana's a natural fit for a guy who has all the Chicago roots and St. Louis roots and Midwest roots right there, you have basically the same recruiting base. And not only that, I just think that he is such the 1A hot candidate right now that other programs would probably, if they could get Porter Moser, would be fine with moving on from their current coach. And I bring up a guy like Shaka Smart. Okay, you're telling me if Texas boosters really want a guy like Porter Moser, and I know that doesn't make as much sense geographically, but Texas just lost in the first round. Shaka Smart has not brought that magic that he had at VCU. So you're telling me if they could get Porter Moser, there's not an oil tycoon booster that's going to pay a buyout and bring in Porter Moser. I think right now, name whatever best job is out there, Porter Moser should be the 1A candidate. So I don't think if I'm him, I would go to Marquette right now. Now, maybe that made more sense 3-4 years ago. But yes, I think we both agree the Indiana job is better than Marquette, and he could absolutely get a job like Indiana.
No, I'm a reasonable Marquette fan, believe it or not. I agree. The other jobs are bigger. They could come after him and offer more money, and that may be the end of the story. The only thought I had was if he really doesn't want to leave, he's comfortable at Loyola, and this is probably just me overthinking it, but Jesuit connections. He went to Creighton. He was a Majerus assistant for 4 years, which, by the way, he said after he got fired at Illinois State, best thing that ever happened to him was he worked with Majerus for 4 years at SLU. Wanted to stay if they would sort of say you're the coach in waiting, and they wouldn't. I believe that's how it went down. But maybe the Majerus ties, Catholic school, bigger conference, Big East, double your salary. If he's not looking to go to Indiana and get chewed up and spit out. I mean, I think I'd look at what they're doing. I mean, Tom Crean got run off like, what, 2 years after they won the Big Ten or something and you know, went to Sweet 16. Archie Miller was there 4 years, got bounced. So I mean, it may be that those jobs aren't as appealing because of that. So I don't know. It's probably not going to happen, but man, I think he'd be a perfect fit and he'd be there for the next 10 years. But I guess here's a good way to wrap this thought. What's your percentage? An old staple from the show, very popular. People are still talking about very popular. What's your percentage Porter Moser stays at Loyola? I'm going to say, and if they go to the Final Four, maybe it changes everything. But I don't think he's one of those guys chasing huge money. I'm going to say it's 20% he stays.
Yeah, I was going to say 25%. When you hear him talk, He says, I want to win a national championship. It's not about, oh, you're a great story and Sister Jean. No, he's like, I want to win a national championship. And then when I win one, I want to win another one. And I think Porter Moser knows that even though he got darn close 3-4 years ago, and he's close right now, he knows his chances of winning a national championship doubles, triples if he goes to a school like Indiana. And this is his time. Look, let's say he flames out 5 years into Indiana after getting absolutely paid. Maybe it's 4 years, 3 years, but he still gets his money. He can always, as a 56, 57-year-old, go back to a Loyola. If I'm him, I take the chance of the big job right now. It just makes too much sense.
Cardinals opening week is next week. Chuck will be there in Cincinnati. Cards and Reds, we're closing in. We'll probably – you know what, Charlie? Next week I'll be our big preview show because it'll come out on Thursday, the day of the opener. People will probably wait for it like they do the season preview, the packet in the Post-Dispatch. But the story of the spring, I think, is still the unsettled outfield, which hasn't really changed, and the fact that Adam Wainwright was brought back not for nostalgia – but for necessity. Like, if they had to win a playoff game tomorrow, one game, you might go with Wainwright. I mean, I know it's just the spring, but Flaherty hasn't been that good in the spring. Wainwright has just been, for a year and a half now, like, beyond reliable. He's been really good.
Yeah, I would still go with Flaherty. I would always defer to Stuff, but if Waino was starting that game, you would be totally fine and confident that he's going to battle and give you a very winnable start. I just love the fact that he's had this, I don't even know if it's fair to call a renaissance, but he had those couple years where he was so battered by injuries. He just wasn't the same guy. You thought he was done. And he's come back. He's had this second chapter, and he's been a really, really good pitcher. And then, yeah, big picture with the Cardinals. Obviously, the Harrison Bader news with him starting on the injured list changes the conversation a little bit. But, yeah, you still have basically prove it. Prove it to me, Tyler O'Neill. Prove it to me, Dylan Carlson, although I think he should get a ton of at-bats anyway. But the Lane Thomases of the world, like for the outfield, it's hey, you're going to get your shot, and if you hit, you stay in there, and we'll see what happens.
I love the fact we made it through the whole show without saying, hey, how's your bracket looking? Hey, how's your bracket looking? I can't stand that this time of year, Chuck. I'm not asking, how's your bracket? Good to be back together. A little awkward, kind of like the high schooler. I feel like we broke up, and then there was a dance, and we saw each other like, hey, yeah, how you doing? Yeah, okay. Yeah. Or maybe it's not that awkward.
You know, it didn't feel awkward to me at all. It felt like just
riding the bike. Right,
we fell right back into our groove. I think we only took, what, maybe a month off, maybe two. What was it? I don't even know.
I don't remember. But I love it. It's Martin and Marlowe, Spotify, iTunes, Charlie's YouTube channel for all the great content. And it's presented by Marie Davila, Senior Living, Triad Bank, and Appliance Discounters. And don't forget about the Corner Butcher. Let me see if I can remember. The Corner Butcher, St. Louis Lawn Care, St. Louis Mower Repair, and lawncube.com.
So, yeah. So, basically, for me, you got Kennelwood Pet Resorts.
Kennelwood.
You got the Corner Butcher. And then I just call it the Tim Jankerson umbrella of companies,
ooh,
which is St. Louis Lawn Care, St. Louis Equipment. But that website is St. Louis or STLMowerRepair.com. And then, yes, LawnCube.com.
Chuck, have a great week. I act like I'll talk to you next week, but I'll let you see you later today.
All right, buddy.